Welcome to the podcast!
Yeah, it's Beck and Jazeel here, and this is some of the best bits of our show in the last 24 hours. It'll make your wildest dreams come true.
Well, it's definitely some bits of the show from the last 24 hours, but we really hope you enjoy it.
98.5 Drive here with Beck and Jazeel, and joined in the studio by Dr. Innes Cluter, owner of Kingsway Vet Centre. Innes, how are you going?
It's good, thank you. How are you guys going?
Good. You always bring joy to us when you're here with us in the studio.
I'm so pleased that I bring you joy, Beck.
you bring me joy.
Hey, today we thought we'd talk about therapy dogs, but before we get there, yesterday on the show we were talking about being in a plane and your passenger or your person sitting next to you on either side is a dog, yay or nay? They've paid their airfare.
Yep.
They're just sitting right next to you for a 10-hour flight. Hypothetical.
I think they would be better behaved than some of the kids I've sat on a long-haul flight.
That's what I said. I think it's an offer. I was like, but that's what I said.
Okay, two votes.
I guess I'm neutral on this, but I wouldn't mind if they pay the fare, if the dog's not eating rubbishy dog food and he can hold himself in, I think it's not a bad idea. I think if it's paid for and the seat's taken,
why not?
You've probably got some magic trick where you can put them to sleep as well, you know, like tag them under the ear and they go to sleep or something.
The old sleep world.
I'm not Dr. Doolittle. I haven't got magic powers. I've got drugs, but I haven't got magical powers.
If you have any pet questions, you can text them through now, 0429-985-985. But so across New South Wales this week, therapy dogs have been added to a range of public spaces. So there's like a residential poodle on the train line. Also, a school's now got a therapy dog.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on them?
Oh, it's fantastic. They have been used in so many places and has made such a difference to people's lives. I just want to, before we talk about therapy dogs per se, I just want to distinguish between assistant dogs and therapy dogs.
Right, okay.
So assistant dogs are those dogs that people use for their own benefit, like blind people, people that have them for medical reasons. So they are as of a benefit to that individual, whereas therapy dogs are owned by an individual and then goes out and go into public spaces like here or into other areas to have an effect on other people's well-being, emotionals, well-being, and also their physical well-being as well. So that's where therapy and assistant dogs are the difference.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
How hard is it to train a therapy dog?
Well, there's a few companies that specializes in training these dogs, and there's a lot of criteria. Some of these guys don't make it exactly as guide dogs, but they then have this sort of spin-off where they can further train them to become therapy dogs. Therapy dogs just have to have a demeanor where they are placid. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't really be excited by their owner's or by the people's emotions.
Right.
They should be trained not to jump. They should be trained to be able to walk off a lead. And a lot of this is more, some breeds are just more prone to have these qualities.
Yeah.
And of course, they need to be in a healthy state. Mm-hmm. And then the training is not so much just for the dog, but for the handler or the owner of this dog as well to help make this dog as efficient or as best as it can be as a...
When treating a therapy dog or an assistant dog, is it any difference in how you would treat one of these dogs as to a normal dog, you know?
From a veterinary point
from
of view?
Same
thing.
Exactly
same thing. Actually, treating one of these dogs is lovely. because they are cooperative. They are used to being handled. They are used to being touched by strangers. And they couldn't be bothered with what you're doing and aren't fazed with what you're trying to do.
Perfect.
So it's really, I've got a few clients in our clinic. I've got one beautiful big poodle that goes to aged care homes. And this particular dog is really helpful in older people with dementia and Alzheimer's and that sort of thing. And this makes a huge difference to their quality of life.
Innes, therapy dogs, you just told us off air about some of the places where these therapy dogs are now getting introduced, one of them being the courtroom.
There's a very new way of thinking about getting these therapy dogs into courts, and they serve two very valuable purposes. One of it is They help the witnesses to be calm. And a lot of these witnesses, because they are in court and they see these accused, makes them very anxious. And touching these dogs before and having them around actually calms them down.
Wow.
And they seem to be much better in giving their witness statements. And they're much calmer doing it. And they think much clearly.
And they don't know the dog. This is just a therapy dog.
Therapy dog. Remember, a dog has got no pretensions.
Yep.
If it wags its tail, it pants at you and it looks at you with those gloomy eyes. A Labrador. Immediately you fall in love with it.
Yep.
You know, there's just no barrier. There's no, let me talk to you first. Let me just see what that.
Yeah.
There's immediately a connection. The other very interesting thing is they have found that if they expose the accused people to these dogs, they tend to be more informative and they tend to give more information regarding what's happened. And in some cases, there's actually ones that's after they've had it, some sessions with these dogs, actually admit the crime or...
What?
Yep.
Wow, crime-fighting therapy dogs. Yeah.
So for those families out there that don't have a dog, get a dog. Your kids won't lie to you. Is that... I'm reading between the lines here.
You're reading too much between the lines.
I have not found that to be true.
Yeah. The other thing that these dogs has always been proven, you spoke about this once in schools, they put these dogs in libraries, and for young kids that struggle to read, that's got some other minor disability, just struggling to read and get going, they put them in front of the dogs, and the kid starts reading to these dogs.
Wow.
Because they don't feel that apprehension, you know, like the teacher sitting in front of them or one of their mates that's going to be, you know, sort of judging them with where they are in their reading.
Yeah.
And these kids just sit and they start reading to the dogs.
I might try that. I might put our dog next to my daughter when she's reading. See how
that goes. Happens.
Do it. Mm-hmm. Do it. You often see kids telling stories to dogs. Mm.
Quick questions just come through on the text line. What is the best way to protect oneself from a dog that is roaming around and wanting to follow you?
Hopefully it's not aggressive.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's just trying to follow you. Look, if the dog's following you and you've got no idea and it's a relatively friendly dog, it might be worthwhile just phoning the ranger or getting to your local vet. It's so easy to get in there. They will keep the dog. They will scan him. They'll call the owners or the ranger and someone will come and pick him up. It's better that than leaving him out in the streets and there's road rage close to you and they come around the corner and they hit these dogs.
Yeah.
So if the dog's aggressive, it's still worthwhile calling the ranger, giving them your location. But yeah, it's not easy, but it's better out of the road than on the road.
Definitely. Mm. And Vicky said, having to move back in with my folks to care for them. My 11-year-old dog is coming too. Any tips on helping him settle in? He's visited lots but not slept over.
The best way for new dogs to settle in all the time is to have them smell, hear and see each other, but not have physical contact for a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Unless they know each other and their body language suggests that they are friendly towards each other.
Right, okay.
Was that with other dogs?
Yeah, that with other dogs.
Okay,
with other dogs. So the initial stages would be to do it like a baby gate where they've got two separate parts of the house, but they can at least see and hear and know each other. And then to introduce them to each other for permanent, you know, sort of introduction, but then to be there at that point when they do that and do that for probably another 10 days or so.
Nice.
Once you're confident that they will not be at each other's throat all the time,
then you open the gate.
You can probably
good
open the gate. You're probably good to go.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the questions that have come through. You can keep them coming. We can save them for when Innes is back in. But before we wrap this up, Dr. Innes, you got a few, facilities where people, do they breed the dogs or what's the go?
Train.
They train. They specially select these dogs on demeanor and behavior and that sort of things that you spoke about earlier. There's the Delta Society of Australia. They specifically train dogs for aged care facilities, for nursing homes, for hospitals, for hospice situations. There's the Court House Companions. They do these dogs for the courts. This Integra. So this is something, I don't think there's one of these in Perth, but there's definitely one in there's a company in Australia. They specifically go for companions for war veterans.
Right.
A lot of these older war veterans do have issues with post-traumatic stress, and they train these therapy dogs specifically for these guys. And then there's the Nepean therapy dogs, which I've heard of. I've not had to deal with them specifically, but they also train dogs for a wide range of institutions and for applications.
Oh, cool. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Innes from Kingsway Vet Centre. You are a treasure.
Thank you.
We'll see you in two weeks.
Thank you.
Whew, what a hoot that was.
That was. Oh, I'm tired just from listening to it.
Oh, I'm energised.
Yeah. Hey, if you want more from The Drive Show, just visit 98.5.com. And don't forget, you can tune in live anytime for more of this great banter.